Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So the reality is, this week we become jealous of a whole lot of people, Tyler. And I realize what jealousy is. I'm not sure if it's necessarily a sin, but maybe it's a fallibility, if you will. But the reality is, starting Thursday about 8:10, we're going to see 31 millionaires happen over the course of about a four-hour period. And you know what? Sometimes you just tip your hat, but you get to be a little bit jealous.
Oh,
you
I'm
know
a
what
bit
I mean?
Jealous.
So let me, by the way, speaking of jealous, we've been talking bucket list in the first hour. I got to get this one out, and I really appreciated Zach Seifert joining us again. It was interesting because we all play golf. But Brett, one of our managers at Smoke on the Water, when, by the way, we found a way to shut you up. Man. How about the chicken wings here at Smoke on the Water?
They are the best.
Smoked chipotle.
My mouth is on fire right now. Yep. But they are delicious.
All right. So Brett comes by to get in our bucket list, and I reformed his. He is our unabashed manager here at Smoke on the Water, who's a Florida State fan. And he said his bucket list is to see Florida State play again in a national title game. Again, I don't know if that's bucket list, but I said, let's reframe that thought process. You can't get to the national championship game without making it to the ACC championship game. That's so true. Maybe that ought to be that bucket list for Florida State right now, because that means that you would knock Clemson off in the Atlantic Division. And right now I don't see that happening anytime soon with the dysfunction that is going on in Tallahassee.
It's funny because Florida State, that was kind of on the teeter-totter of one of my bucket list games. I wanted to see Florida play Florida State at the Swamp.
Because you know there's going to be a fight.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
You remember the year that Florida State gathered on the F there? And, I mean, all hell almost broke loose. Now, I'd rather see that game in Tallahassee where I've seen a game because – again, now that Mark Ryan's on staff and he's a Florida Gator grad, he laughed when, you know, they call him Chief Osceola. We call him something else, Chief Assahola. So I would rather see it there. But the NFL draft is beginning on Thursday. Do you even have an idea where we're going? Because thoughts are all over the place right now. I saw, you know what? Who is feeding who is disinformation based off what they want to do. Last night, I read an article when I got home saying Arizona will pass on Kyler Murray as being the number one pick in the draft. Remember, just 1 year removed from taking Josh Rosen, number nine in the first round. The powers, they were all excited about it because the ticket sales have apparently fallen off out there in Phoenix. But now, apparently some calmer or other heads have prevailed, and don't be surprised, which I wouldn't make this guy the number one overall pick, but don't be surprised if Bosa ends up going number one to pick. Point being, there's misinformation.
Yeah.
All right. I saw I got a USA Today drop today's updated USAtoday.com's mock draft right here. Guess who they have going number one?
Ooh.
Kyler Murray.
That's what I've been hearing all along.
All right. I have seen mock drafts here in the last 12 to 14 hours that have Kyler Murray going number one, going number four to the Raiders, or falling all the way down to number 13 with the Miami Dolphins. Now, remember, they are the franchise that has to have a quarterback because they don't have one. Remember, they are the franchise that's left their scouts in Norman after the Oklahoma Pro Day and worked out Kyler Murray. So, the Dolphins are still in play for moving up the board when all's said and done. But who do you believe at this point? Cleveland Farrell, in that very same article that I mentioned, because it talks about what the Raiders are doing. I guess Mike Maycock and John Gruden aren't like on the same page, so they've sent all their scouts home and have redone how their draft board looks. So I don't even know who's in charge of the Raiders at this point.
That's a funny story.
All right, but they're saying that if Murray's there at four, they'll take him. If not, they are looking at a list of defensive ends that includes Cleveland Farrell, the former Clemson Tiger, who in this USA Today draft that came out today, they've got Cleveland Farrell going in the, 20s. They've got number 20. They got Cleveland Farrell at defensive end from Clemson going 29 to the Kansas City Chiefs. But here is somebody else saying that they have talked to the Oakland Raiders for one more year and said that Farrell's one of four guys at the top of their draft board. So my point, it's like walking into a bar at happy hour.
Yeah.
Beauty's in the eyes of the beholder.
I really think Kyler Murray is he's going to go to Arizona just because of the relationship with Cliff Kingsbury and the coach over there at Oklahoma. Same offensive scheme. And everywhere I've read, that's – the team they had him pinned to, and they're looking to trade Rosen.
Now, I've even heard word and rumor, don't be surprised if Quinnen Williams, the defensive tackle from Alabama, may see or hear his name taken number one. I wouldn't take Kyler Murray, and here's why.
I'm with you.
For every Drew Brees, there's been 10 guys that size that have made their way right out of the league in a matter of a year and a half. The NFL has tried different things, but when all is said and done, what typically works in this game? A drop-back passer. What is Drew Brees that Kyler Murray's not? Drew Brees is a drop-back passer that God did not give the gift of a lot of height to. But he is a true drop-back passer a la a Drew Bledsoe back in the day.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray's not. Kyler Murray will – to me, Kyler Murray is this year's version of RG3.
Which is not a good end story.
Won the Heisman Trophy, found out he was a little short, found out that the arm wasn't as quite what we thought it was, and guess what? Those feet on those defensive end, the linebackers and the defensive linemen in the NFL are a lot more than they are in the Big 12. And guess what? RG3, number three overall pick in the draft that year. Well, I guess he's on somebody's third string right now, Cleveland, maybe?
He's the backup quarterback in Baltimore.
All right, so my point being, I will go online right now and give it to you straight up. I think Kyler Murray is this year's RG3.
And it's a strong – he's so small. He's the smallest quarterback I've ever seen. I know they're comparing him to Drew Brees in stature height-wise, but just from looking at him, I don't ever remember a quarterback being that small.
I just don't see him being the guy that can drop 10-step drop, sit back there, read the field. You're going to have to roll him out and take advantage of it. And, again, I come back to at the NFL level, you don't fool defensive ends like that like you do at the college level. Why all these guys are the top prospects at their position in the game?
Yeah, and one thing that LeVon was pointing out on the podcast was Arizona offensive line is terrible.
Uh-huh.
And Rosen did a really good job at just sitting back there taking the licks. They're thinking maybe they would go with him because of his ability to scramble because the offensive line is so terrible.
Now, I am on record. Carolina Panthers have to take a quarterback this year. You have to start thinking down the line for what's next behind Cam Newton because we saw how bad Cam Newton's shoulder was coming down the stretch of the season. New Orleans knew it was so bad they didn't have to put anybody more than 25 yards downfield because he couldn't get it that far. And, of course, we saw the throw in the end zone, which was intercepted.
It could have been it.
All right, so even though he's given up sacks trying to get better, Cam Newton, having gone through shoulder and neck, sorry, how does that one apply? All right, having gone through that, there's still time involved in this. So if I'm thinking I'm the Carolina Panthers, he's not going to be there. Because all it takes is one person to fall in love with you. If you saw Daniel Jones from Duke available in the second round, I would jump all over that and twice on Sunday. But here is a mock draft that has Daniel Jones going number six to the New York Giants. And Zach Brown, I know you already called in. Please don't call in again. I like Daniel Jones, but not in the sixth slot. This has got New York Giants written all over.
Man, that's what I was about to say. His hype train is on a roll right now. And I read an article that was actually comparing him to Peyton Manning.
No, that was Gil Brandt. No offense. That was Gil Brandt. That's great. Daniel Jones isn't a top 10 pick. I think he's a value pick in the second. I think he's a value pick. Like, down there, top 10, I ain't buying it. But I'm not exactly excited about a whole lot in this quarterback class.
Yeah. And I think
I don't see a Deshaun Watson in this class.
No, not at all. I think the hype behind Jones from Duke is only because of the head coach of the Duke Blue Devils.
Well, the Cutcliffe factor and all that. All right, I'll tell you, if I had to have a quarterback, if Sturge had to have a quarterback for the franchise, knew that I had to spend my first-round pick on it.
I have one.
I'm going to go Drew Locke from Missouri. Hmm. I think his skill set translates to the NFL. He throws a pretty ball, too. But I'm not sure I wouldn't try to get a value quarterback. And Daniel Jones, somebody took Tim Tebow in the first round. It was the Denver Broncos. That I would almost be more comfortable waiting on like a Ryan Finley at the bottom of the second or the early third round just to see if he could develop into something. I don't see a true first round draft pick in this quarterback class. It just makes me get all lathered up.
Yeah, I think one quarterback to watch out for who may move up, and I mean only because he was Florida Gator, was Will Greer.
Maybe I would actually say, but then again, I go back and look at Paxton Lynch from Memphis a few years ago. What is it, yeah. Tyreek Jackson from Buffalo that everybody's drooling about, that's 6'7 right now. But every Dan McGuire, Paxton Lynch we've seen come into the league going 6'7, they never work out. They never work out.
Yes, so, it's not a guy from Ohio State. I'm drawing a book.
Haskins, who, by the way, Stephen A. He is, but Stephen A. Smith is now apologizing for him for getting it all right. So I guess he had him on the show. Oh. And, dude, I got it all wrong here. I was like, yeah. suck up. So anyway, it's going to be fascinating. And guess what? We may see as many as three Clemson names come up in the first round of the draft. So when we come back, our friend Manny Robinson, who is a sports writer for the Greenville News, is going to join us. We'll talk about the NFL draft. He's in Columbia, but he put out a little article last week that was a little bit of a reality check for South Carolina football fans. Manny's not a Clemson guy, all right? He just said all this fun coming out of Columbia toward Clemson's football schedule. There's a little bit of irony that the Gamecocks are the 12th team on it. Hmm. And there's a lot of truth in that comment. We'll talk with Manny Robinson, who is our co-South Carolina Sports Writer of the Year for 2018 by the National Sports Media Association, when we come back. So, Tyler Butler, we're getting ready to be joined by our buddy Manny Robinson of the Greenville News. But before we get to Manny, this will be one of the smarter segments we ever have on the show. Why? He's in a doctoral candidate at Wake Forest. He's an adjunct professor at Furman. But more importantly, he is our 2018 co-South Carolina Sports Writer of the Year with the National Sports Media Association. It's Manny Robinson. And, Manny, I hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing great. I was wondering, all those accolades, wondering who you were talking about, but I appreciate it.
Nah, man, I've always told you, not only do you make this show look better, you make it sound a whole lot more responsible. Let's just leave it at that. But before we get into the NFL talk, I thought, listen, nobody likes to hear the truth, all right? Clemson fans don't like hearing the truth that, yes, their schedule is a little weaker than others. But the irony of South Carolina fans pointing that out when they are the last game on the schedule, I thought that was a very intriguing article that you put out last week, because it's like NFL draft, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Right. Yeah, it was funny. I just thought it was, you saw it time to time, especially during the offseason. Yeah, something small will take off on social media, and normally, in normal circumstances, maybe during the season, probably wouldn't jump into the fray, but I just thought it was funny.
Yep.
And it just that they were so adamant about it and pointing it out and just like totally dismissing the fact that they were on the schedule. And of course, anytime you put that out there and even put facts behind it, when the truth comes across that way, it's not good to be the right. The bearer of bad news. So, but you know, yeah, that comes with the territory. So
yeah.
I've been accused of being a Clemson hater and
right.
of being a Gamecock hater. So hopefully I fall right dead center in the middle.
No offense. If both of them are upset at you, you're doing something correct. There's no doubt about
yeah.
it. Secondly, I am the one that has scratch in this conversation. Bama got 4 weeks off before we played Oklahoma and then turned around and played Clemson. So we had every bit of opportunity to get as healthy as anybody else out there in the country. And guess what? Bama got their butt kicked in that final. And I will call it like it is as a Bama guy. So is what it is. That, to me, are arguments for people that don't have a legitimate argument. But how
right.
many Tigers do you think are going to see their name get called on Thursday night? There's a possibility for three, but most mock drafts I'm seeing now only have two. But guess what? All it takes is one team to fall in love with you, as we saw Tim Tebow being a first-round draft pick of the Denver Broncos.
Right, yeah, that's all it takes. You're right. Everyone says, well, you know, it doesn't take 30 teams or 32 in the case of the NFL. It just takes one. And, of course, the one I've seen, and you may be seeing differently, because that's the thing about all these mock drafts
right.
and scouts and all this thing. Everything goes crazy. So I see Wilkins being the top Tiger taken, and then Dexter Lawrence,
mm-hmm.
and then seeing Cleveland Farrell there run the fringe in the 20s. The last one I looked at, I can't remember who the author was, but had him going to the Ravens, which, you know, any defensive player going to the Ravens with that kind of history, even though, I mean, they've fallen a little bit away from, you know, the heyday, but still that's a great organization to be with. And I think that's the most important thing. You know, of course, there are monetary things to think about going earlier. But you know, once you get down in the 20s, you're more than likely going to a stable franchise that has some success recently. So if they fall into the 20s, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Hey, man, it's Tyler Butler here. There's a lot of speculation that the Patriots are in love with Hunter Renfrow. Yeah, I think that'd be a perfect match, but – which round do you see him going in?
That's a good question. Those are the intriguing questions around Clemson's crop and South Carolina's for that matter. You're figuring out where Debo Samuel goes, and Mitch Hyde is the other one I'm intrigued about. But with Hunter, I mean, I could see him, you know, third round maybe, highest fourth, and we know why people say there are a lot of undertones about him being linked with the Patriots. I mean, he can fit a lot of systems,
mm-hmm.
But they've kind of made their money off of that kind of prototype. But I think he's a more dynamic, receiver than people are giving him credit for. He can do more, than the slot. I mean, he's made a living out of proving, people wrong who have underestimated him. So I believe that's what will happen with him in the NFL as well. He fits that Adam Humphries type mold, the guy you least expect to stick, not only stick with a team, but excel.
As we continue with Manny Robinson of the Greenville News, follow him on Twitter at Manny Being Manny. That's M-A-N-I-E Being Manny. Let me ask you this. Two guys on that defensive front. You mentioned Dexter Lawrence, Cleveland Farrell. Dexter Lawrence, of course, has his name come up there before the playoffs, doesn't play. But I thought he handled all the answers about the Osterine in a very above-board manner, which that maybe put him back where he's supposed to be. I want to comment on that, but Cleveland Farrell, turns out he played with, what, like a torn pec almost the entire 2018 year, never hung it up, never complained about it, and guess what? The new trend in college athletics is if I'm not playing in the semis, I'm not playing in my bowl game. I think that's going to do a lot for Cleveland Farrell when it comes to some GM's draft board this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, the interview goes a long way in this draft process, and as it should. I mean, that's one of the things that has made Clemson so successful with recruiting character as well, or at least promoting it, you know, a certain caliber, a certain standard. So, no, hearing those stories, they don't surprise me. And the thing that you mentioned with Dexter, it's just, first of all, just showing up and not reading off, you know, kind of reminds me of, you know, when Michael Vick ran in his, he got the best piece of advice he ever could. It's like, just show up at the press conference without a piece of paper and just answer questions and face questions. That's what people want. We want honesty. You don't need to. You don't have to be the most eloquent in stating everything. You want it off the cuff because you want honesty. And that's what was most impressive about Dexter and Oscar. And there's still a lot of questions about that.
Yes.
You know, we can't get all the answers aren't there. And we're, you know, those of us on this side are digging, let the public know that. But trying to get to the truth. You know, not trying to stir up trouble, but just trying to get to the truth. But with Cleland, I mean, we're going to miss Cleland and his you know, he was always the most quotable Tiger. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's a grinder. And, you know, you learn a little bit about his background, and it doesn't surprise you, you know, that he's going to fit in and he's going to be a contributor for a long time in the league, as long as he stays healthy.
All right, Manny, one more football-related question. You, back in the end of September, you were the one that broke that Kelly Bryant had taken his chance out after four games, and, of course, he'll be playing for the University of Missouri this year. What is it that is that culture at Clemson that you mentioned? Because one of the more impressive things I've seen in the last month were the number of Kelly Bryant's former Clemson teammates that made their way out to Columbia, Missouri to support him in Missouri spring game a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, again, not surprising. You know the relationship these guys build, and what it did, it dismissed the narrative that's been out there for so long, that this kind of strife. And you know, more than one thing can be true in a situation. People can be upset. I mean, think about how many times you've gotten into it with your family members, and, you know, the next day you don't hold any record of it. I mean, that's what the good book says, right? So,
right.
You know, no, they have a deep relationship with, you know, and, you know, a large team, you're going to be closer with some guys more than others, but no, they have a lot of respect for them, and they're friends. And a couple of them, you know, the fraternity brothers. So those things don't change, and they, you know, respect the decision. Maybe they disagree with the way it all went down. I mean, there's a lot of things that could have been different on both sides of it, but mm-hmm. But that's the way it shook out, and you deal with it. You deal with the circumstances, and they seem like they've moved on, and I think it's been great for Clemson and for Kelly.
Right.
You know, the success, it seems like they both will be in a better, better for it after all of this.
Do you think the way the season ultimately played out, with Clemson becoming the first 15-0 national champion in the modern history, that maybe tempered everything, that the right move may have been made and Kelly gets to go? You know, I'm not a big Derek Dooley fan from him being a head coach, but he's had some success with the Missouri quarterbacks in his time out there. Drew Locke will be a first-round pick on Thursday. So do you think ultimately the way the season played out tempered any hard feelings in the long run?
Yeah, I mean, that made everything – come around Clemson look a little bit brighter, didn't it? The sun was shining brighter and everything. You know, but – on Kelly's side, you know, he still has a hope and ambition to mm-hmm. pursue the NFL. And, you know, of course, you know, there are a lot of naysayers who believe, you know, he maybe switched positions and things. But why not? You know, it's kind of the thing with Tebow playing baseball. You mentioned Tebow mm-hmm. earlier, but it's like, you know, why not? You know, we're not promised any amount of time.
Thank you.
So why not pursue everything to the maximum? And that's what this is about to me. And I mean, even though, you know, the thing that Missouri is going through with the sanctions, the NCAA sanctions, which are ludicrous, by the way, but I mean, the NCAA, that's par for the course. But
well,
he's staying, even though they may not.
Don't get me started on Cal Poly right now, okay? They just paid for North Carolina's two decades of transgressions. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Exactly. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, no doubt. All right, one last question. We have been able to go out to Arizona, cover national championship games, have fun in Tampa, do a lot of fun, ACC football kickoff. What's a bucket list thing for you as a member of the media to go cover that's still on your list?
Yeah, well, I guess I just have to finish off the college football playoff slam. I hadn't done the Rose Bowl yet, so
that's mine.
The
that's mine. Mm-hmm.
So that's it. And, I haven't been to the other Death Valley, so that's on my list as well. So just a couple of those.
Okay. All right. So yeah. What you working on now? Of course, everybody can just follow you on Twitter at Manny Being Manny. You can also go to MannyRobinson.com. The website has all everything you've written there listed as well. But what's coming up down the pike? Because you're not only working, you're also studying as well.
Yeah. I got a little less than a month left before graduation from Wake Forest, so I'm excited
awesome.
About that. But as far as the Greenville News, I'm really excited about the story that's coming out in the morning. I want everyone to check out. There's a young man out of the Simpsonville Gray Court area, was once 600 pounds, and he's losing, has a goal to lose weight, and he's doing it through the Spartan race. If you guys are familiar, that mm-hmm. great obstacle course race that's very intimidating, even for those of us who consider ourselves former athletes or weekend warriors. So it's a very inspiring story for people, no matter the situation that they're in. He's a great, great young man that's doing that, DJ Maynard. And so it's want everybody to check that out and support in any way you can and take that story and run with it yourself.
All right. Well, listen, get done with everything. When you're back, you're going to come join us here at a Smoke on the Water on Monday. I'd like to see you in person. All right.
Yeah, we have to do that, man. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thank you, Manny. There's Manny Robinson from the Greenville News. Again, Manny Being Manny. That'll be a great story tomorrow. And, of course, they'll have he and Scott Kiefer and everybody over at the Greenville News, they'll have all the draft coverage when it comes to the Clemson Tigers, as well as our buddy Eric Boynton from the Spartanburg Herald Journal. I actually invited him. You're going to come to Hall of Fame for our NFL draft party. He goes, dude, that first name that gets called, I am already working on bullet points for articles, boom, boom, boom. He goes, there'll be Clemson guys, but he goes, who knows? The kid from South Carolina from Chapman, Debo Samuels. He may, there may be somebody at the end of the first round that finds him an attractive draft pick. And, of course, him being from Chapman High School there in Spartanburg County, boom. He will have to have an article out that night. So these guys will have you all covered. We're fortunate to have them as our friends here on Straight Up with Sturge. So here's the deal. Bucket list items. You can get in with us at 844-GSP-ESPN. Also, when we come back, I'm going to give it to you straight up. I have a new job opportunity. It just happened this afternoon. Somebody else doesn't want it, I'll take it. 844-GSP-ESPN. Always good catching up with our buddy Manny Robinson from the Greenville News. You can follow him on Twitter at Manny Being Manny. It's open phones here as we come down the list. And here's the deal. We're going to let Chris come on, Tyler, but I don't want to hear a dadgum thing about the New York Mets or the New York Islanders right now. I'd rather hear something like, a bucket list item that doesn't refer to the Scarlet and Gray. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, Serge. How you doing, man?
Fading fast here on this Monday afternoon after setting my alarm on Friday morning for 3:20 and Sunday morning for 4:15 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm
glad you had a good trip.
We did. I had a hockey blast. I sent you that video, man. That was loud. That was an event. And if you think the Ohio State University takes their football seriously, or me think Alabama or Clemson fans think, they ain't nothing to what the event of a Predators game is.
Yeah, they have some hardcore fans there. I saw the picture of Smashville, the car, mm-hmm. which when I was in Nashville last time, they had that out when they were in the playoffs.
So yeah, I donated $10 to charity for my daughter to wake her up, to be honest with you, because we went and saw a concert in downtown Nashville on Friday, and the game was originally supposed to be Saturday night, but they moved it to 2 p.m. Oh. So to wake her up,
man.
I paid $10 for her to take a sledgehammer and go bang a car out in the front of Bridgestone Arena, and it woke her up, and we donated money to charity.
There you go. Two birds with one stone.
You got it. So what's your bucket list?
How you doing, Tyler?
I'm doing good, Chris.
So good, what's your bucket list of it, Chris?
You know, I got to say, I heard you say no Mets, and well, first off, I'm not an Islanders fan, so I'm a Rangers fan, so we'll take that off the list.
All right.
But as far as bucket list, I would have to say I want to go to the Daytona 500. That would be an experience, because I've heard it's insane.
Yep. And, of course, you got all that stuff with the Harleys and the Southern guys and everything else. But I kind of – I've never been NASCAR, but I sided with Diesel. If I'm going to put NASCAR on my bucket list, I think I want a night race at Bristol.
Okay.
So, but you can't go wrong.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, now, yeah, we had Jackson that hit us up earlier who says, I want mine to be a final round at the Masters with Tiger Woods in the final group. And I agree with Diesel. That wasn't so much bucket list as something is a desire. You know what I mean? So there's too many factors involved in that one. So give us a little idea real quickly, Chris. Hall of Fame Sports Grill, they need to come down and see Offsides with Mark Ryan on Thursday from 1 to 4 p.m. You and I will be doing Straight Up with Sturge from 4 to 7 p.m. They got great bartenders and wait staff down there, including Alyssa, not to mention Alice and Chief and Omar and everybody else. They are excited and ready to welcome our ESPN Upstate listeners with open arms on Thursday at 531 Wade Hampton Boulevard.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great event. I hear rumblings of maybe a celebrity or two popping in, former Clemson players. I've heard some of those rumors. So we'll see what happens.
Until they hear their name called in the first round of the NFL draft. And then, of course, they won't be able to be here. But, no, we're working on that. I'm going to really get heavy on that tonight. But, hey, man, I appreciate everything and getting that thing lined up. And, of course, I'll talk to you on the way home tonight. Thanks for getting in with us tonight.
No problem, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Can I go ahead and make my official announcement?
Yeah, let's get it out.
I'm out the door here at ESPN Upstate. I'm angry. I Peyton Manning was my personal choice to take over for Jason Witten, was awful. And I like Jason Witten. He played well at Tennessee. He's a nice guy. But I thought he got thrown into a situation in which, quite frankly, he wasn't ready for. Agreed. And I think he knew it and said, you know what, I got one more year. This is the best way for me to get out of this job is to say I want to play one more year of football. Nobody's going to challenge that. So the natural, logical name that had come up in it all was the legendary Indianapolis Colts and Denver Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning, who, as of last night, says he is not interested in Michael McCarthy of the Sporting News reports, quote, barring a miracle, Manning will not take over for Jason Witten. I think we all lose in that regard because Peyton Manning, I actually watched some of the House of Manning last night. It was on SEC Storied. I started a book on Friday when we got to the airport early, The Lost Symbol by Dan Brown, who wrote the Da Vinci Code and that kind of stuff. And listen, it's a book, okay? Don't call me out on my faith or anything else for reading it. But I think we would have all been better off for Peyton Manning taking over that job on Monday Night Football, because not only does he know the game, not only has he won two Super Bowls, the dude's funny.
Yes. Love his personality.
And I'm not basing this on State Farm commercials. Friends that owned a bar on the Strip in Knoxville called Barley and Hops, B&H Performance Hall. His last year at Tennessee, he'd stop in and he'd have a beer. One. Never more than one. He'd already graduated. He graduated after 3 years. I think I was in there one time when he was in there, but he stopped in from time to time. And people are like, nobody has an idea how funny this guy is. You're seeing it a little bit with his commercials, but dude's really quick-witted. But you want to go watch about why he is what he is? He'd sit there and raise hell to his dad in the backyard when he was getting passes thrown to him. Would you throw a decent pass? I'm like, that's your dad who played at Ole Miss, who played 13 years in the league with it. It's not like he sucks at quarterback, you know what I mean? So the dude has always wanted to be number one at whatever he did, and he would attack Monday Night Football with that exact same thing. And I don't think he's ready to pigeonhole himself yet,
yeah.
And that's why he's not going to make the move. So I'm going. I'm taking the job. They officially reached out to me about an hour ago.
Oh, the worst part, if you want to know how good Peyton Manning is on a microphone, go to ESPN and sign up for the ESPN Plus app. He was on Kobe Bryant's Detail, where they will break down certain plays and what they see from a player's perspective. Excellent TV.
Yeah, so I think we all lose when he doesn't become. I mean, you're probably looking at the former backup quarterback for the Tennessee Hasselback is in his name involved. And
yeah, I don't mind Boomer Esiason.
Well, I don't think Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarland can pull it by themselves. They're going to have to have a third person in the booth. But congratulations. You want to talk about a guy that's tougher than us in the media? It's Joe Tessitore. Did you see what happened this past weekend? He had a little bit of a heart scare with some health problems, went and got it checked out. Soon as they were done testing him, he made it like downtown New York City where he was doing boxing on Saturday night. So he went straight from like heart testing to calling a boxing match.
Wow.
No offense, that dude's tougher than me, all right? No, I don't care if he's an Oklahoma grad or not. Tessitore's tougher than me. All right, when we come back, you can get in with us at 844-GSP-ESPN. We'll close up shop here on this Monday edition of Smoke on the Water. Again, you always have us on 97.7 FM in Greenville, 97.1 FM in Spartanburg, 1330 AM in Clemson and Anderson, and go to the ESPNUpstate.com website. Get signed up for the locker room. It'll be worth your time. So, again, you'll hear it multiple times, Tyler. We're going to be at Hall of Fame Sports Grill on Thursday night for the first round of the NFL draft. Mark Ryan will be there. I'll be there. We'll hang out after 7 o'clock. But for people that do not know you, you are a sick, demented Dallas Cowboys fan, just like your boy Josh Phillips. They don't have a pick unless they make a trade into the first round Thursday. Why do you watch as a Dallas Cowboy? Because when I was in my way to work tonight, earlier today, Mark Ryan was talking about the NFL draft being Christmas night for adult males, talking about, you know, you get to go back after a couple of days and process the haul of gifts and look and see if your friends did better than you. You know, half to me, the NFL draft is seeing how your opposition maybe improved yourself.
Yeah, that's mostly it. I want to see what team is improving, what team made a mistake, what guy coming out of college that I thought were going to be great and people slid on like a Russell Wilson. I thought he was the best quarterback coming out, but they killed him.
They did, but size, you know, I guess, you know, he's a little bit bigger than Drew Brees, but you know, I think some of the stuff is not never being committed to one sport. How great are you at either one? And once he committed to football, right, it proved that he was really, really good. The other thing is like you said, who's going to be the guy that bottoms out?
Yeah,
that to me, I hate it for him, but that to me is always the most fascinating story of draft night. And I'll never forget when I was in college, the University of Florida basketball team. I hope Mark Ryan's listening to this right now. The University of Florida basketball team was just getting better for the first time. They had gone and hired a guy, Norm Sloan from NC State. They had a guy on that team. You may remember as a child from the NBA, Dwayne Shentsius, about a 7'1" white center that was ugly as all get out, even meaner than he was uglier. He was in the green room for the first round of the NBA draft and did not get taken in the first round. One of the – I don't know if I wanted to laugh at him or I don't know if I wanted to cry for him in the fact that he put himself in that position that he never went in the first round yet. There he was. It, of course, every pick that came up is he's the last guy – that was there as a player in the green room, they'd show him sitting there uncomfortably.
Kind of like Aaron Rodgers.
Right. To me, that's always – there's going to be one guy that's going to – that the bottom's going to drop out for whatever reason, and who's it going to be? Because once a couple of teams draft on a guy that makes like it looks like it makes sense, then it almost becomes unison, a la Laramie Tunzel. His wasn't from talent. Yeah. His was from the idiocy of putting up pictures on social media in which he had a gas mask, smoking weed, and all this other stuff.
That was so weird, by the way. It came out of nowhere. I think the guy who's going to slide, unfortunately, is Haskins. I know I was reading that he may not even show up. He was thinking about not coming.
If I'm not in the top 10, guaranteed I ain't showing up. I'm having a party at home with family and friends, and they can put a TV camera there. I don't want to be one of those guys that thinks I'm going to be drafted in the top 5 and find out I go at number 22.
Right. I just thought he was a sure end for the Giants. But I'm hearing the Giants are looking at defense instead of quarterback.
And then we saw on the, Daniel Jones at Duke at number 6 in the USA Today mock draft. So, but again, here's the thing. We are going to have to decipher a sea of misinformation here in the next 48 hours, you know. Who's putting out there is garbage. Who might pull a trigger on a trade here, you know, in the final 48 hours before. There's going to be something, and all it takes is one domino to topple to make everything get all out of sorts. So
I tell you what, if Kyler doesn't go number 1 overall to Arizona, it's going to make for an interesting Thursday night.
I don't think he is. I just don't. First of all, I think Arizona is foolish. Why go hire a guy like Cliff Kingsbury if he can't run a program and be successful at Texas Tech University? That made him prepared to make the jump to the NFL? You're now dealing with men that make paychecks. You couldn't get kids on scholarship to buy in.
It's the copycat lead of the NFL.
So I think Arizona is the second biggest disaster waiting to happen behind the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, man.
I will believe it when I see it. I like the moves that Cleveland has done.
I have them
they have
seven
upgraded
games.
On talent, no doubt about it. But Freddie Kitchens deserves to be Coach of the Year in the NFL if he can get all those personalities to mesh together and become a successful football team.
That's the thing, man. That Greg Williams was the one that turned the team around last year, and now he's gone. So you have a first-year head coach in Kitchens. And who was – what was he, like a quarterback coach?
Well, and he was a – I've known Freddie a little bit. He played at Alabama. He is a great guy. And Cleveland knew somebody else was getting ready to hire him as head coach, and that's why they said, well, we got this one here. But does he have enough credibility? Does he have enough cash in the bank to sit down and lay out an Odell Beckham Jr. or someone along those lines when it's time for them to get laid out?
Well, not even that. You got to look at the owner. His – like, turnaround is awful. He's letting coaches go every 2 to 3 years. So how long will he give Kitchens time to develop it?
Well, again, if he pulls this off, because they're no doubt have upgraded their talent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But they've also made their locker room that much more difficult. And that, to me, is one of the things that we have to navigate. Now, again, I want to see, I have a sneaky suspicion, Baker Mayfield is what we said about Ben Roethlisberger and even Cam Newton. He's an ultra-talented quarterback, but I'm not sure Baker is a leader going back to college based on all the chops that is growing and everything else. Yeah. I'm not saying he can't grow up and mature, but guys like that, Peyton Manning was a leader. You would have never seen him doing the crotch chop on the football field at the University of Tennessee.
Yeah, Baker definitely had his, you know, the run-in with the law.
Yeah, if you can't shed 4 police officers at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're gonna shed Cleveland fans. No, so Diesel again, you and I'll be in studio tomorrow. Weather looks fantastic here this week, not only for our NFL draft party on Thursday at Hall of Fame, but that will affect us here on the show the next 2 days. Clemson has home baseball games with Winthrop tomorrow, 6 p.m. We'll give way to the network at 5:30. Then it's Tennessee Tech on Wednesday again, 6 p.m. First pitch will give way at 5:30. South Carolina's at home tomorrow. They'll be taking on Charleston Southern. Furman's at Upstate, and Wofford is at UNC Asheville. Tyler, at My Sports Culture on Twitter, MySportsCulture.com. And, of course, go check out the LeVon Kirkland video or from this weekend. And, of course, we'll see you hopefully for a few minutes on Thursday as well.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, Diesel, great job today. Thanks for all the input. And have a blessed evening. We'll do it tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.